In search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome to another episode of our program In Search of Piety. Our last episode was entitled The Sweetness of Faith. And one particular narration that we intended to mention in that particular episode, we were not able to because of timing. So the episode will begin, or our discussion will begin, with that particular narration about the sweetness of faith. But before I do this, I would like to mention a benefit of sending blessings in favor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, a man who prayed and praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter and then expressed blessings for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. He was told by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam himself that supplicate, your supplication will be answered, ask and you will be given. So the reminder, the lesson for us, that if we want acceptance of supplication after we offer the prayer and we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can then express salat ala nabi, send a prayer of blessings for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, with this hope that when we raise our hands in supplication, for our general supplication, it will attain acceptance with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as per the instruction of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. So as I mentioned, sweetness of faith. Let us cover this point first and then inshallah we will move on to some more inspiring statements of Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Sweetness of faith. It is reported by Sayyidina Aun bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu that once Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that no believer, no Muslim can attain the reality of faith until he attains the elevation of faith. And the elevation of faith cannot be attained without preferring need or poverty over affluence and preferring humility over honor, or considering humility to be better than honor and respect. Furthermore, considering praise and blame to be the same. So Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an is discussing the reasons or the causes or the reasons behind the attainment of the elevation in faith or the sweetness of faith, or why people are deprived of that sweetness of faith. He is saying that until a Muslim does not give preference or does not show a greater inclination to need over affluence, and he does not prefer humility over honor and respect, and he does not consider praise and blame to be the same, until these elements are not fulfilled, he will not attain that elevation of iman and that sweetness of faith. Now there are some themes that may not be very clear in this statement of Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala. And for example, people might be thinking, is there something wrong with being affluent? Is there something wrong with being honored? Is there something wrong if we do not consider blame to be, or criticism to be, the same as praise? So the companions of Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, and they actually explain this statement. And it's very clear after their explanation, which I would like to share with you now. So the narrator mentioned, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an, his statement was explained by his companions in the following way. They said that a person will not attain the sweetness of faith until he prefers poverty in a state of lawfulness over affluence in a state of unlawfulness, meaning a person prefers to be poor but having a halal way of life over being affluent or rich but having a haram way of life. And they explained the next statement. They said, and also a person prefers to be humble in his obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over fame and seeking honor, which in an act of disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because sometimes people seek fame or recognition for the wrong reasons. So the explanation that his companions give here is what Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was referring to was the fact that you have to give preference to a humility that is in the obedience of Allah over seeking fame, which is an act of disobedience. And the third element, or the final element that they explained, they said that one should enter such a state of devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the person, for him, he is so immersed in his love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if someone is praising him or criticizing him, it doesn't make any difference, because his focus is on his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is only worried about Allah being pleased with him. So those were the points about the sweetness, or attaining the sweetness of faith. Hafiz Abu Nu'aym Asfahani mentions another point, or another definition of tasawwuf, quoting the scholars, the ulama of tasawwuf, and he says that the ulama of tasawwuf, or the people of tasawwuf, have said that urging oneself or encouraging oneself towards a state of fear and hope, this is the essence of tasawwuf. So tasawwuf involves this inclination to hope and also fear as well, being conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trying to develop a state of khashiyah, but also having hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala and said that the best part or the pure part of this world has passed, and what remains is the murky, tainted part of this world. So death is a gift for the believer. A point to remember here: we should not desire death. This is what the ulama encourage. Although death is a gift for the believer, because it's for a believer who has been obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a means of salvation for him. But we should not desire death, especially out of despair. Because for a believer, if he lives longer, he has more opportunities to repent and to correct his affairs, to sort his life out in terms of his hereafter, to prepare and do more good deeds. Because in the hereafter, a believer will yearn for a single good deed. Imam Qurtubi, it's mentioned in Tafsir Qurtubi that a son will come to a father on the Day of Judgment and ask him for a single good deed, and for his father to take a single sin away from him. And he will say to his father, "Was I not obedient in the world? Did I not respect you and honor you in the world? I only ask for a single good deed. I only ask that you take the burden of a single sin away from me." And the father will respond by saying that what you have asked for is simple, but my need is the very same need as yours, meaning the way you need one good deed and you are yearning for one sin to be taken away from you, I am yearning and I desire the very same thing for myself. So in this world, let us be people who help one another in matters of piety and in matters of good, in righteous deeds and in matters of righteousness or piety. Generally speaking, we should be assisting one another, because on that day, every man for himself, generally speaking. A brother will turn away from his brother, a man will turn away from his wife and children, he will turn away from his father and mother. But here in this world, the mercy of Allah, we can pray for each other, and even those of our Muslim brothers and sisters, our parents, if they have passed on, we can continue to give sadaqah on their behalf. We can do good deeds on their behalf. Imam Ghazali says, rahimahullah ta'ala, that the good deeds of a child, the good deeds of a son or daughter, those good deeds are, the reward of that is given to, by default, to the parents, because they are the parents of that child, of that individual. So they are also given the benefit of the good deeds done by their offspring. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, he mentioned in a very powerful statement that if I am given options where I either stand between heaven and hell, and I am given the option of entering either, or I become dust, I would prefer being dust than being made to stand between heaven and hell and having to enter one of them. So this was his state of concern and his fear, that rather than being in that position where I would either go to heaven or hell, I would rather become dust. And this was his level of concern for the hereafter and his humility. And here we are living our lives every day as if there is no accountability in the hereafter. This is a cause of concern. This is a reminder for us that if the best in the Ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they have such greatness and such excellence that no wali, no saintly figure, no scholarly figure outside the group of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum equates to their rank. And among the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, the great scholarly companion Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala and Sahibun Na'lain, the one who was given the closeness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and special permissions in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would rather become dust than have the option of standing between the fire and paradise, and having to choose one or having to go into one. Regarding concern for the hereafter and preparation for the hereafter, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an once addressed the people who were sitting in his presence. He said, "O people, with the passing of time, your ages, your lives are becoming less, and your deeds are being written. Death will come suddenly. Whosoever sows goodness or sows righteousness, he shall reap the same. And whosoever sows evil, he shall reap the same." Meaning, if you do good, then the consequences of that will be good. And if you act in a way of evil or immorality, then the result of the consequences of this evil will be the very same. On one occasion, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, and he said, "Every single one of you is a guest." Yes, a guest. We have heard or we know of an expression in hadith about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructing us to live in this world like travelers, people who are wayfarers and travelers. Here, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an, he is saying that each and every one of you is a guest, and a guest does not remain forever. Meaning, a guest comes for his set time, and after, it could be a few hours or maybe a day or so, and then the guest will leave. So he said to the people, "You are all guests, and a guest does not stay forever. And whatever wealth that you have, this wealth is owed." This is owed wealth. This is basically not wealth that you possess as your own. This is something that you owe to the one who it belongs to. So he said, whatever wealth that you have, it is owed. And this wealth will be given to its master. So whatever we have, we as people, our lives, everything that we possess, it ultimately it is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The essence of this is that whatever we have in this world, it was given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our return. So there is nothing for us to set our heart on. Any sustenance we have, it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever blessing we have been given in this world, it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you think of, in light of this, letting it go is not a big problem. But when we start to think that it belongs to us, as in personally, it's mine, and it does not belong to anyone else, then letting go of possessions can be a problem. So Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an is reminding us that we are living here as guests, so we should consider ourselves to be like guests in this world, so that leaving this world is not a problem for us, and this is not something which we find difficult. The soul is ready to obey the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when the appointed time arrives. Once Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an, expressing advice to the people, he instructed them, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do not associate partners with him, and live your lives according to or in accordance with the laws of the Quran. If a person that you do not know comes to you with the truth, you accept it. And if your loved one presents something which is untrue, which is false, you reject it. A short, powerful reminder. We worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we live our lives according to the laws of the Quran, and then the essence of, we are people who prefer the truth. We don't look at who the truth is coming from. So it could be, and the test of faith and the test of integrity is this, that even if it's someone that you may not personally have an inclination to, you may not like that person personally, for whatever reason, but if that person brings the truth, you will look beyond your personal grudges and you will accept his or her truth. And if someone beloved to you, a family member, a friend, a colleague, comes to you with something that is untrue and tells you or seeks your support in a matter which is false, you do not cooperate. You reject that matter. Because in the end, if it's not about the truth, then what is all this struggle about? Being true to oneself, being true to the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, who was described as as-sadiq and al-amin. We should be, or we should strive to be, truthful followers of the most truthful Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. One of the overwhelming and inspiring characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam was his integrity. Such integrity and such honesty that even the disbelievers of his era acknowledged the fact that he did not, in general matters, as far as our dealing with him is concerned, he never breached trust. He never spoke a word that was untrue. This was their perception of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, even before the proclamation of prophethood. Sayyidina Abu Amr radiallahu ta'ala an, he reports, following on from this theme of truthfulness, that Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu an once said, the truth is burdensome and bitter. I'll repeat it. The truth is burdensome and bitter, whereas lying, or the lie, is light and sweet. And sometimes a little lust, just a little bit of lust, can become the cause of long-lasting grief. And this ties in with, or this can tie in with another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially the last part where he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hell is veiled by lust and heaven is veiled by difficulties. So often people, they fall into actions of lust, and behind that or beyond that action or a consequence of that action is punishment and torment. And at the same, on the other hand, people, they face difficulties, but really they should consider that beyond this difficulty and beyond this struggle, there is something great, rewarding, there is bliss, there is paradise. So we as believers should be people who embrace difficulty for the greater reward, and we refrain from the temptation of lust to save ourselves from, Allah forbid, lasting torment. So in this particular example, or in this particular statement of advice, he is saying the truth can be burdensome and it can be bitter. Sometimes if the truth is against what we're doing, or our opinion, or our behavior, our conduct, we feel the effects of that truth. We don't like to hear it because it's a true criticism, but we have to learn to accept it. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, my friend is the one who tells me my faults. Amazing statement of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So where do we stand? Do we become enemies of people who tell us, who criticize us rightly for anything wrong that we are doing? Or do we embrace and acknowledge and thank people for letting us know about any weaknesses that we have? Remember, if we're in a position to do that, we do so with courtesy, on an individual level, not publicly, not shaming anyone. The respect of a Muslim is of paramount importance. We do not dishonor our Muslim brothers and sisters, and we do not disrespect them in any way. We always consider their personal honor, even in matters of correction. And finally, I would like to end with a statement of Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala and regarding wealth. He said that whosoever is able to, he should place his wealth in a place where neither the termites can take it nor the thief. And he was referring to sadaqah, because sadaqah is something when you spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then obviously it's protected. And that's a guaranteed investment with the mercy of Allah, insha'Allah. It's for the hereafter. So Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, place your wealth in a place where neither the termites can reach it, nor the thief can reach it. And he gives the reason for this. He says, because the heart of an individual is forever inclined to his wealth. So when money is accessible or money is in our possession, our hearts are inclined to that. This is why people are checking their bank balance, their accounts, and how much money they have and how much they've accumulated. It's just the heart is drawn to this matter. And Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu is encouraging us to spend in the way of Allah. Why? Because it's a sign of piety, as Allah has mentioned in the Quran. It's a sign of selflessness. It's a sign of gratitude. And if we spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that money is saved from any kind of theft. It is saved from any kind of destruction. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the statements of advice mentioned by Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala and help us to find our way in this search of piety during our lives. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to be steadfast upon the path of piety. Ameen. Bijahi Nabiyyil Ameen. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
In search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety.